In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm going to say something to you that I've not said to anybody at any time in the last 31 years of my priesthood. And I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about it deeply. When did the burning bush start to burn? Is it an eternal flame? Think about it. Is it an eternal flame? And when did Moses see it? And why did Moses see it? Now, there's a story amongst the Jews, a tradition amongst the Jews, that being a shepherd, one of his sheep went astray, and he looked for it to the farthest reaches of the wilderness. That's how it's described in the Bible. To the base of the mountain, which is called Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. It's the same mountain. Mount Horeb, H-O-R-E-B, or Mount Sinai. And when he saw the lamb, he had mercy on the lamb. The lamb was thirsty, and he let the lamb drink as much as the lamb wanted. And afterwards, the lamb was exhausted by how far the lamb had gone. And so Moses took the lamb and put it on his shoulders to carry the lamb back to the flock. Now, what image do you see in this? Have you not seen the image of Jesus Christ depicted with a lamb on his shoulders? All right, think about these things. Because as we look at the burning bush, you know, Orthodox people of all stripes, they look at the burning bush and they see the womb of the Holy Virgin. The fire of the divinity of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ is contained in her womb, and she's not immolated. She's not burnt up. Right? So it's the bush that is burning. But what do the Jews say? They said that when God saw Moses with this kind of compassion. Now remember how Moses is depicted. He's a man who had killed, an Egyptian for fighting with a Hebrew. And then when he buried the guy in the sand that he had murdered. And then when there were two Hebrews who were having a problem, he went to intercede, and one said, "Are you who made you Lord over us? That you're going to rule over us? That you're going to tell us what to do? Are you going to kill us as you did the Egyptian?" Now he knew the jig was up, and he also knew that if he had this word coming out of the mouth of a perfect stranger, it would soon find its way to the ear of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would kill him. So he left. And when he left, he went to the land of Midian. And in Midian, the people are black. And he went to the ruler of the land and to the high priest, whose name was Yitro in Hebrew, Y-I-T-R-O. In English, we say Jethro. And Jethro's daughters were, he had no sons, they were in charge of the sheep. And when they went to water the sheep, they were prevented by some people. And Moses came and sorted out the whole mess. And because of this, Jethro offered Moses one of his daughters in marriage, Zipporah, or Zipporah. And Moses accepted. She was black, by the way. Moses' wife was black. African Americans need to know stories like this, because they don't think they have a place in Scripture in a very deep way. So, this is the story of Moses. He went from the palace of Pharaoh to the palace of the ruler of Midian. He didn't have any in-between state where he was impoverished. All those stories about Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments, you can let those things go. He didn't have this wandering through the desert, wondering what was going to be parched in the symbolic sense. the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled when he went into the wilderness. The Moses passed through the wilderness, yes, but it wasn't as he said. He wasn't so weakened that when it came time to fight those other shepherds that would not let the daughters of Jethro water their flocks, that he couldn't dispatch them all, one against I don't know how many others there were. But he was not emaciated and drawn out, as one would be having spent 40 years or 40 days or, for me, 45 minutes in the heat. The point I'm trying to make is that God saw the compassion that was in the heart of Moses when he made this journey to get the one lamb. When he saw the lamb, he did not prevent the lamb from its goal, and he put the lamb to carry it back. At that point, he saw the burning bush. Now, what do they call the burning bush, the Jews? They certainly do not see the Holy Virgin Saint Mary, as do we. They do not see the full portent of the message of God. But what they do see, and this is very important, is they see love. Where the burning bush exists, they see love. Now, I'm going to talk to you about love just for a second. I wish we had another word for love. We talk about God's love. In the same way that we use the word, I love God, we say, I love ice cream. We profane the word love so badly that the word love has no longer any real deep meaning. For this I applaud the Jews. You know, Orthodox Jews, and by the way, most Jews are not Orthodox. It's a very small percentage of Jewry that are called halakhic Jews, which obey the law. They do not ever pronounce the name God. They don't even write the name. If they're going to write the name God and they want you to, they write G space space. They do not print the name God. In that, they are better than we are. Because what do? How do we profane the word of God? We say God blanket, right? We do that all the time. I have this friend who's a Jew. This is a funny story. Robert Zachary Milstein. And this guy was hanging a picture on the wall. And as he's putting a nail in the wall, he hits his finger with the hammer and he says, Jesus Christ. I looked at him, I said, you're a Jew. Why don't you say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know? But you see, do you know why we use words this way? We want people to know just how terrible we feel and how important it is that they know just how terrible we feel. We want people to know the depth of our pain. We are so self-important that we can use the word, the most holy word, the most dramatic word. That's the only word that is fit to describe our situation. So we say the F word all the time. All the time. You can't watch a program anymore, hardly, without hearing the worst kind of language. And why? Because if somebody says to you, hey, Abuna, how are you feeling today? You know, I can let out a string of expletives that would cause your ears to catch on fire. And if I say, Alhamdulillah, Nashkur Allah, I'm okay. No, Abuna, no, how do you really feel? Alhamdulillah, you know, Nashkur Allah. The Lord's will be done. Well, how are you feeling? How's your diabetes, Abuna? How's that going on? How's your osteoarthritis? How's your high blood pressure? Alhamdulillah, Nashkur Allah. You see, people will think, he doesn't want us to know. He's keeping this a secret. He's not telling us the truth. I really am concerned about him and I really want to know. Tell me all the stuff. But then there are other people who, oh, my life is so terrible. I am in such a mess. My situation at home is so bad. I am feeling so terrible about myself. Bad words keep issuing from my mouth so that I know you understand that there can't be anybody on earth that feels as bad as me. So do I wish we had another word for love? Yes. And why didn't God give us another word for love? Because we'd have simply have used that word as another expletive. And that's a shame. It's a shame on us. And you know, I'm guilty of this. For while you will not hear me say a string of profanities out loud, I think them. And I hate myself every time I do that. And I have been working really hard not to do it anymore. But it's the same process on the inside. I'm feeling so miserable. Poor me. Nobody has it worse than me. Look, I've got some familial situations that make me sad. That make me really sad. Where's my grandson? Where's my son, for that matter? Why aren't they worshiping with me? Why aren't they? Well, they're not worshiping with anybody. And that makes me sad. But I think about the person that I know who has left God altogether and believes now as, you know who, if I say the name Crick, do you know who I'm talking about? Watson and Crick. They discovered the double helix. DNA. He believes that a spaceship came and this is on record, and he doesn't deny it until this day. He believes that a spaceship from someplace came and put spores, S-P-O-R-E-S, spores over the planet Earth, and they germinated, and everything arose because of that. Okay? There's only one polite word that I can use for this kind of thought. Cuckoo. The man is cuckoo. And if a little bird wants to come out of a box and say the sound at a high-pitched tone, it's just appropriate. But I know a guy, I know this person, who thinks now the same thing. He believes, this is a person that I know, he left the Orthodox Church, he left everything, and he believes in spaceships and aliens, and that's what gave us rise on Earth. Spaceships came, aliens came. All right. Well, what can be worse than that? I'll tell you what can be worse than that. This man's not dead. He's in his 50s. But he's not yet dead. He can still change his mind. He can still repent. There is still hope. But when you feel so miserable, you say, there's no hope. There's no hope. What can I do? I'm miserable. I want to die. You don't deserve Jesus Christ. You don't deserve the church. You don't deserve anything. You deserve to go to hell. Why do you deserve that? Because you have, by your own free will, abandoned every saving grace that is available to you out of the abundance of love of God. God's love is so overarching, we shouldn't be able to speak its name. I love God. I love chocolate ice cream. You see what we do? How we diminish the word love? When we speak about God's love, that the Father Almighty sent His only begotten Son to die for us as a propitiation for our sins, that this would happen, comes out of a love that we can't imagine. People understand selfish love. Think about me. What about me? Is anybody talking about me? Worried about me? Am I getting the requisite number of phone calls asking how I'm doing? who's concerned about me. I want to know everybody to know about me. It's horrible. It's horrible. What twisted souls. What lack of imagination. What impoverished, poor, poor people. God loves you. That should be enough. That should be enough. It's not enough because we don't open ourselves up to it. You know, the question comes back that the Jews are asking, when did Moses see the burning bush? How long has the burning bush been burning? The burning bush is still burning. It's when you see love. It's when you see love. The burning bush is love. It's the beginning of the incarnation of the Word. He is coming to us. This is the mechanism. It is the sign. Look, behold. It's a wondrous thing. And we don't. But Moses did. This again, I'm going back to the story of the Jews. He fell in love. He fell in love. He said, I must see this thing. I must see this thing. I'm going to climb this mountain. Do you know that the Jews said this is the holy mountain? Whoever puts his foot on the holy mountain dies. He had been told this. He knew all these stories. Whoever puts your foot on the holy mountain dies. Remember the story of Adam and Eve? Whoever eats of the tree will die. Huh? He overcame a lot. And you know why? Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When you love someone, not yourself, when you love someone, you love them in spite of everything you want for yourself. You love them because love is not the penultimate. It's the ultimate. It's not next to the top, just a little bit below your own personal love for yourself. In other words, what does it avail me to love somebody if they don't love me back? Well, that's not love. That's a social contract. It's a social contract. It's not really love. You love because you love, and you may not even, you can't even stand yourself sometimes. Because you feel that in the eyes of all of the people, you're a doormat. And do you know what? Insofar as you are thinking about what other people have as an opinion of you because of your love, at that very point, you are no longer loving. The love is turning inward. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. Who loves me? I want to be popular. I want to be so popular. I want to go online and I want to have 1 million followers. I want everybody to be attentive to what I eat, where I go, what I do, what my opinions might be about anything. I want people to vote exactly the way that I vote. I want everything to be a little rendition of myself. It's twisted. That's not love. That was never love. If you ever think you've been loved, turn back to it. If you've ever been loving, even for a small moment of your life, nourish that feeling. It's like a fire. The fire inside was what? Dim? Was the fire inside about to go out? Was it an ember? No, the fire was a flame. It was a flame. It was burning bright. Imagine you're looking at a mountain and you see one bush, not described as a tree, a bush on a mountain, and it has a glowing light in it. Oh, it's just a reflection. You know, it's just an optical illusion. That's all it is. No. When Moses put the lamb over his shoulders, It was a symbol of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for and is willing to do for each and every one of us. And if you feel this, nothing else in your life is going to matter. Nothing. When I think of my grandchildren, I think how sad I am that I can't be with them. I think about how their lives would be more full if they were with me, about all the things that I could do for them. But then I see on television commercials, you always see these commercials during this time of the year. Have you ever seen the little kids with cancer that show up on the St. Jude commercials? Have you ever seen the people that don't have enough food? Have you ever seen the people that are homeless on TV this time of year? Have you ever responded to any one of the pleas for people who work with the homeless? And then you think, and I'm complaining. Shame on me. Shame on me for not having the proper perspective. Yes, the things that I want for anybody that I love, the things that I desire for anybody that I love are great things. I want them to prosper. I want them to be healthy. I want them to be conscious. I want them to be alert. I want them to be spiritual beings. But that's not up to me entirely. I am not God. And I am extremely limited. And you know, I found out something in my life. It's a terrible thing to find out, especially when you find it out late. If I say holy 100 times, it does not have the impact of me saying one profanity a single time. Because the devil is right there, and the devil says, ah, see that? See that? He's lying to you. If you really meant this holy stuff, he would never do this, or he would never do that, or he would never say this, or he would never be with those people, or whatever it is. People are always trying to look at others for answers that lie only within themselves. I'm not seeking help from anybody at any time to correct the ills of my life. They must be self-corrected. Now, I have to always say this because this is being listened to by perhaps skeptics. This recording I'm speaking about, not you. It's always through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's always through the agency of the fathers of the church, the interpreters of the Holy Bible. It's through the prayers that have gone on for millennia in the sacred Coptic Orthodox Church. But it's my agency. It's like I must choose what is the best tool for my personal correction, for my personal metanoia, for my personal askesis, for my personal Hezekiah. These are personal. They're not for you. They may be of value, and I can teach some things and offer you some things, but ultimately you have to use them as tools in your own life. But I tell you now, when you look at the burning bush, don't just think that this was a historic event happening to one man. It is happening eternally. The bush has always burned. The bush is burning now, and the bush will burn forever. And whenever people of love see that bush burning, then they become, what does it say? Who makes his ministers a flaming fire? What do you think that means? His ministers. Ministers of what? Ministers of world domination? No. Ministers of love. Ministers of care. Ministers of concern. Some people, when I criticize them, they think, oh, what is criticizing me? Why? Because they're thinking about themselves again. They're not thinking about the larger overarching event. They're thinking about themselves. But I'm thinking about, what are we going to do when we are gathered at the foot of the throne and we are judged? What then? How should we have prepared ourselves while still being in the flesh? So think about the burning bush. Think about the holiness of Saint Mary, having in her womb. Think about all of those things. But then think about yourselves and think about how you can use what God has given to us for our correction through his holy and tender and love that surpasses any vocabulary. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.